8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the Son of God. Now, I'll stop right there. Praise God. Now, this that we're talking about here, talking about revelation knowledge or manifesting a Son of God, and in this area called vengeance and recompense, is to me a part. Can I just take my time here? Okay, you're in a hurry. You just whenever you got to leave, just get up and leave. Now, I don't want you to leave, but if you have something you got to do, so I'm not going to go over time. I just don't want to feel that rush spirit on me. Okay. Somebody come here to get some word, and I got to get this word out. Now, there are spirits, mainly Jebusites. These spirits basically don't want the body of Christ to move forward. They don't want us to move forward. They have, in their thinking, they want to keep people small. That's, now remember when, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm just taking my time. We're going through this thing just like that. Deuteronomy chapter 7. I started to say turn the clock off, but leave it on. Just leave it on. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you out on time. Look at verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. Now each one of these ites represents a strong man. And Jesus talked about the strong man. He said that when a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. That's Luke chapter 11 and verse 21. Verse 22 says, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him, he shall overcome him and take from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. In other words, go and break into a strong man's house and steal everything he's got. I mean, when I say steal, I mean take everything he's got. So these are strong men. Now understand where Joshua was going. He was going into that land. And going into that land is not for babies. It's for grown folk. Now when I say grown folk, I'm not talking about chronologically, but I'm talking about in the spirit. People who are not just looking for a pablum sermon. They're not looking for milk anymore. They're looking for some strong meat. Okay? Now this is where we are. And he named all these ites. And a Hittite, you know, is a spirit of fear. I went over some of this on Wednesday night. You don't know it because you ain't here on Wednesday night. Girgashites, clay dwellers. Again, toy dwellers, people who are more focused on the natural than the spiritual. The Amorites, these are slanderers and so forth. And those spirits that talk to you about condemnation. Canaanites, these are spirits of perversion and addiction. People who are running through drug problems and so forth. The Perizzites, and Perizzites having to do with those spirits that are, one person said, a Tiny Tim spirit. It's a spirit that try to keep people depending on other folk, can't get up for themselves, won't study for themselves, won't pray for themselves. Now, these are spirits now. And then the Hivites. Hivites, as you know, remember over there in Joshua 9 and 10, talk about these deceptive spirits that came in and deceived Joshua. Now, these are deceptive spirits. And then also there are the Jebusites. Now, these are spirits here that basically the Jebusites, come from a Hebrew word having to do with thrashing, having to do with thrashing wheat or something like that. But it means to stomp on or to beat down or to keep small. And these are spirits that think other people are inferior to them. Same spirit that ran in racism. These spirits, same spirit, Jebusite spirits. Now understand, these are strong men. And he said something about them. Look what he says here in verse 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Come on over to Deuteronomy chapter 9, please. And Deuteronomy chapter 9 says, Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over this Jordan this day, and going to possess nations greater and mightier, what? Than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. A people great and tall, children of Anakims, whom thou knowest, and of whom thou hast heard say, Who can stand against before the children of Anak? He said, Understand therefore this day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before your face, and you shall So shall thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord has said unto you. So they're great and mighty than you are. Now I want you to see something, because this all fits together in this. Turn all the way over to 1 John, and 1 John chapter 5. All the way over by the book of Revelation, 1 John chapter 5. In 1 John chapter 5, look what he says here in verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth where? In wickedness. Put in your Bible, under the control of the evil one. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. Turn back to Revelation, please, in Revelation chapter 12. You're almost back there. Turn to Revelation chapter 12, please. I'm asking you to do it quickly so I can get this foundation laid. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 19. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. And what? Revelation chapter 12, and verse 9. Did I say 9? I said 19, pardon me. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the who? Yeah. Devil. And who? Satan. He doesn't want you to make any mistake about who that is. Which deceiveth how much of the world? The whole world. So the whole world was deceived. The whole world is deceived right now. Right now. Right now. Have you ever been wrong and think you're right? I mean, to the point that you're willing to argue with somebody. You know? And guess what? You weren't doing it because you were being malicious or argumentative or whatever. You were doing it because you thought you were right. The Bible says Eve was deceived, but then it says Adam was not. But Adam didn't tell Eve, no, take those snake shoes and that snake purse back. We're not bringing that into the house. He didn't do that. The Bible says he knew what he was doing. Now notice who they're up against. These spirits are in the world. So their job is to keep the world controlled. So when people are trying to put other folk down, then they're putting them down, perhaps that may be a spirit. And that spirit's been sent to them to have them to keep somebody else down. Well, but maybe that's somebody else supposed to be a preacher and they're supposed to be encouraged. But instead of encouraging them, they discourage them.
Right. Come on now.
Say amen to this. Amen. And maybe they don't, the mother doesn't mean anything by it, but she is influenced by a spirit that says, you know, you're going to be just like your daddy. Your daddy wasn't no good and you ain't going to be no good. See, that's not the spirit of Christ.
Right.
But Jesus hung on the cross and he said what? Father, forgive them. Why? Because they have no idea they're being deceived. So now Jesus talks about us. Let's go over to John chapter 17, please. John chapter 17. Let me know when you get there. Verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are what? Not of the world. Even as what? I am not of the world. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you just keep them from the what? Evil that's in that world. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And what I told you, shared with you, is another translation says, they're not defined by this world's boundaries. They're no more marked by this world's boundaries. What is a boundary to the world is not a boundary to you. So these devils can't stop you. I said, these devils can't stop you. They got all those spirits. Now, if you're refusing to grow up, if you're refusing to walk in the Spirit, like he's talking about, they that are led by the Spirit of God, these are the what? Sons of God. Sons means mature offspring. It means you're no longer a baby. You're willing to grow up. You're willing to see those spirits for what they are. Say amen to that. And once you can see those spirits for what they are, I guarantee you, you'll no longer be mad at somebody. Once you can see that was a devil there and they didn't even know they were being used. So what are we having today? We're having problems today, even problems in our nation, problems in our economy, so forth and so on. And the world is looking for solutions to those problems. But these problems are coming in on a level that are almost catastrophic. They're on a level that the world has no solutions for. And that's what I told you last time when I say, look what the world does. Here's a common expression. What are we going to do now? Well, once a person says that, main thing, they're trying to consult their little pea brain to try to figure out, and I'm not demeaning a brain, but I'm just saying, there ain't but so much in there. I mean, we can't go there. We got to go outside of that place. We got to go into the Spirit of God. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Say amen to that. It's going to take wisdom to solve some of those problems. So we are not just going to hold to just the limited knowledge that we might have learned in school or whatever have you. We're going much beyond that. The Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 3 that the wisdom of God shall flow through the church in these last days. So we are the church. We are the master problem solvers. We are here with the wisdom. When Pharaoh couldn't solve the problem, Joseph came up and solved it for him. When Nebuchadnezzar couldn't solve the problem, Daniel came up and solved that problem. And I'm telling you, when your company can't solve the problem, God's going to raise you up to be able to solve that problem. And your problem is going to end up to be your promotion. Praise God. So the problems you were created to solve is your kingdom assignment. And so as God is now moving you into some places, he's moving you into those places and you're going in there. and being able to do the things that God is calling us to do. Now, what we're doing here is God is bringing us into places to take the kingdom wherever evil used to rule. Wherever it used to rule, it looks like he's taking us into those places. Now, the thing that you got to understand is that we have talked here about what's happening in the last days. Well, in the last days, this church is going to be key, because prophecy, somebody gave me a prophecy this week, and it says this, part of it, and I'll extract it for you. He said, my return is quickly approaching. For these are the days of all scripture manifesting. These are the days of all scripture manifesting. Now, this is what I'm saying here. If that be the case, then I'm right on point. Because when God spoke to me about the starting a Joseph School of Business, I had never seen anybody start that. But God spoke to me about doing it. Now understand, you got to watch it, because the Jebusites want to stomp down. They want to keep you behind them. They don't want you to get out here and do anything other than what they've done. And that spirit will use people. Folks, John the Baptist had to come out here, because nobody in the earth had ever done what he was about to do. Are y'all following me now? I'm saying the Apostle Paul and what God told him to do in taking that gospel to the Gentiles, when Peter was called by God to go up there in the house of a Cornelius, up to a person's house that they call unclean, and preach the gospel, nobody had ever done that. Say amen to this. You can go through the scriptures and see those first that God has continued to do. Now, I'm only saying that because in these last days, he's doing some things, and that we haven't moved into those things because we've been busy trying to please somebody else. Come on now. Y'all got to see what I'm talking about here. I know there's order to the kingdom of God, but God is trying to get some things done because the church is going to be able to take over every sphere of influence that there is out here. And so when I was told by God, start a bank, get some people, this is the way you do it, and so forth, I had to watch it because some folk were trying to get me to line up behind them, that God maybe didn't tell me that. Now, they weren't trying to be, and nobody's trying to be dictatorial, but I'm saying that I didn't receive much encouragement. Stay with me now. I didn't see, what am I doing? I'm taking an apostolic route. I'm going out here because I got to break new ground in this territory. Well, I'm talking about, I'm just one person. How many other people have God been talking to? Come on now. But the spirit of the parasite is the lame spirit. That's the Tiny Tim spirit. That's a spirit that always got to depend on somebody else. You do my praying for me. I just want you to pray for, hey, wait a minute. I'm going to grow up and I'm going to pray for myself and I'm going to pray for somebody else. Now hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying you don't come to a stage where you have to have somebody pray, but I'm saying there are people that actually that's kind of their modus operandi is to keep Tiny Tims around them, and you don't need to be you. God wants you to unhook off of people and hook on God. See, because he has no grandkids. Only thing he's got is kids, man. He wants everybody to know him, from the least to the greatest. Are you with me what I'm saying? I'm saying God is doing a new thing, man. And some people don't go in there because they say the old wine is better. I want to just stay with this old wine. Man, he's got some new wine. If you drink that stuff, you're going somewhere. Your faith going to take you somewhere you've never been before. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? And don't think the bank, man. I'm telling you, I'm just saying these are things that God is doing in the last days. So the Bible says in Hebrews 11:40 that he's reserved better things for us. Better what? Better revelations. For why? For better manifestations. That we're going to take the body of Christ somewhere perhaps they've never gone before. And that's all right. Donald was saying, get rid of all the spirits. Get rid of the feeling that you are inferior. Get rid of the idea about trying to stomp somebody down and keep somebody under your feet. Get rid of trying to feed off of, you know what I mean? Whatever it takes. I'm saying, we're getting rid of all of that. All those spirits got to come out. The Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all of ites and parasites. Everybody living off of you, they're going to have to come off of you too. Praise God. Now you watch what I'm telling you. Now, what is happening in the last days? That God is going to establish his kingdom because Jesus is coming back and time is starting to be accelerated. The things that God has for people to do, it used to could take a lot of time before, but now I believe things are speeding up. And God is going to put his presence in every place. Because you know, Babylon means a spirit or system that tries to exist without God. So they've been trying to get God out of the media, got to get God out of arts and entertainment and sports, try to get God out of business, try to get God out of politics and out of government, try to get God out of education. But you and I coming back. We're going to put God in education, God in the government, God in the media, God in the sports, God in the everywhere. Say amen to that. So I'm just saying we've got a calling in our lives. Now, the church has been bullied and the church has been compromising. But what we said last time is that we're not going to wave the white flag for surrender. Come on now. Come on, y'all. Anymore. Y'all remember that? No, we're not going to surrender anymore. What we're going to do is we're going to take land. And when all we've done all that we can do to stand, we're going to stand there. Because if you don't bow, you won't burn. The enemy might threaten you and so forth. So every bit of ground that we had given up because of compromise or negotiated it away, now we're going back and we're going to take it back. I said we're going back and we're going to take it back. Y'all follow this? Now, let me go up here to my lesson. Now, this is the church's finest hour. This is when people are going to be wanting to join you. Because you're going to be producing something that is noteworthy and a thing of distinction. Say amen to that. And I'm not talking about just shouting all down the street. I'm talking about actually producing some things. Say amen to this. All right. Let me just look at this here. Now, what has happened and what I want to teach today is over in Joshua chapter 13. Let's go over there, please. Joshua chapter 13. Glory to God. Joshua chapter 13, verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. My Lord. I remember what I said, shared with you now, that in these last days, that all scripture is going to be manifested. Okay? Now, glory to God. We said that this, that we were teaching on, that the Bible, Lord have mercy, and the way God, and the way God operates is thematic in that it's the way God is. It's a mind and the flow of God. And the way he is in one place is the same way he is in another, because the Lord changes not. Now, many people have been satisfied with just being saved. And that's not the deal. Now, a prophet said this, and I will go ahead and give you what he said. My people are letting the adversary get away with too much. They're not making him pay for what he has done to them or what he has put them through. Letting him off too lightly. Some people are just satisfied with deliverance. Well, that's not the word. You left something on the table. The idea about it is that if these are the days of all scripture being manifested, let's go over to Proverbs chapter 11, please. Proverbs chapter 11. Now, everybody's on board with me now as far as banking is concerned. But boy, I had to go through something before they came on board, because they couldn't see it. And that's why you can't ever just sit up and criticize somebody for something you can't see. Look what it said in Proverbs 11 and verse 31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, not in heaven, in the earth. Much more the who? Wicked and the sinner. Now, what's happening in these last days? In these last days, what you're seeing here is two things happening at once. You are seeing the things in the world are going to get much worse. Things in the kingdom are going to get much better. That just like there's two systems in the earth at the same time, one is going to be judged in the way of the negative. The other one is going to be judged in the way of the blessing. Now, I want to read something and have you stay with me. Justice, we said, is a vital part of kingdom manifestation. So when you get, Jesus said, pray thy kingdom what? Come. Thy will be what? Done. Where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. When you say that, his will is for every place in this earth, wherever evil is ruling, for his kingdom to be established. Now, what I did was I'm teaching you on vengeance and recompense. That he said in Hebrews 10:30, vengeance is mine and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And that's what he said. Now, on the other hand, I just told you that everything contrary to the rule and to the principles and the culture and the laws of heaven must be brought under subjection. Stay with me now. I don't care whether you agree with me right now. You just listen to me. Any nation that's suffering right now is suffering because the church has yet to subdue it with kingdom principles. Because when the kingdom comes, nobody goes hungry. Got it? Now, justice, vengeance. Vengeance, we said, is nothing to do with hatred or bitterness or I'm gonna get you at 3 o'clock or whatever have you. But it proceeds from a love of justice, a love of justice from God, a love of justice, and it's a necessity for punishing offenders. Now, wait, stay with me. Recompense has to do with compensate. It has to do with repaying for something done or suffered. It has to do with paying damages. Okay, now we know that. Now, what we said is that justice is vital for kingdom manifestation. You just got to listen to me, please. Along with integrity, along with holiness, along with honor, along with love, all this. All that comes with the kingdom. Stay with me. You with me? Justice system of the world is one of the main targets of demonic abuse. Now, I'm telling you, this enemy does not like what I'm telling you right now. And I'm going to show you why in a minute. Because he knows I'm headed somewhere. He knows I'm headed to recompense. And that recompense is going to empty out his storehouses. Now, what we said to you is that if you understand vengeance, it will significantly affect your attitude and your behavior. And so we had Moses as an example. That once now you move into this place of hearing the teaching of vengeance and recompense, faith cometh. Now, faith for what? In these last days, Lord have mercy. I hope you're listening by internet because this is coming to you too. It took vengeance for each one of the major people in the Bible to complete what God has called them to do. For Moses to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, it took vengeance. For Abraham to finish what God told him to do, it took vengeance. Now, let me show you this because I just don't want you to fly off here. I'm saying that this vengeance that we're talking about is necessary for the church to finish what God has called us to do. Now, I don't care if you don't believe it. You just listen to what I'm saying here, and we're going to show you, we're going to prove to you. We said that the number one job of the Holy Spirit in the last days is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. Watch this. And the ministry of Christ, once Jesus got raised from the dead, the ministry of Christ has been duly and completely turned over to the Holy Ghost. Now stay with me, because this is big. The reason why it's so big is because the enemy knows that if he can come against the justice system, In other words, if he can come against those who are making laws, then he can make laws to agree with his demonic strategy that he has for people in that nation. So he comes after leadership. Got it? But in this, you got to know that when you have been divinely positioned to do things for the kingdom in your environment, you got to know that nothing can touch you. You got to know that when you say, "Thus saith the Lord is moving through you as a mouthpiece that will give him permission to do what he's wanted to do all the time." Say amen to this. Oh, have mercy. Are you with me? Let's look at two places. Let's look at Isaiah 63 and Isaiah 63. Let's just turn there first. Let me know when you get there. Come on. Hello. Look at verse 4. "For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed," come on, "is come." Now let's keep going here. Let's go all the way over to, come on, Holy Spirit, come on, show me now. Let's go over to, Lord have mercy, Daniel. Let's go to Daniel and Daniel chapter 4. Glory to God. See, the Babylonian system, there is nothing about it that is honest. That system is rotten to the core. Now, the thing of it is in that system, the Bible says mystery Babylon, meaning that it does things that people don't realize that they're being stolen from, but it has a way of using this pervasive system to rip people off so that you can work for 50 years and then retire and can't even write a $5,000 check. That's something wrong with that system. Say amen to this. And then they give you a little old watch and tell you adios, and then can't use you anymore. I'm just saying, this is that system. But God, oh Lord have mercy. Here, Daniel. Now I'm saying this because you gotta stop getting mad with people. You gotta understand that the enemy is the puppet master, that he has got strings attached and doing things through people, and wants you, the enemy wants you to blame people, to take you out of love. Because if you get out of love, faith doesn't work. But if you're a baby, you move by your senses, you move by circumstances, and you move by people. You walk around with your tongue stuck out, your lips stuck out half the time. They who? You don't even know who they is. The devil has got you completely deceived, and you busy fighting people, think they're your problem. They're not your problem. Your problem is your mouth, first of all. You got to bring that under control. But the problem is your ignorance. You've been ignorant. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Y'all gonna stay with me? So what happens now in Daniel chapter 4, what happens is Nebuchadnezzar has an experience here. And something happened that he got this writing or had this dream or whatever it is, but it was something that he couldn't explain. And it was about a vision of him or a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great, and it grew is strong, and the height reached heavens, and so forth and so on. And all of a sudden, it says in verse 13, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. Now, this is part of this heathen Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree and cut off the branches, shake off its leaves and scatter its fruit, and let the beast get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump and its roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth, and let his heart be changed from glory to God, what man's, my Bible's marked up, man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will, and setteth up over it the beast of men, the basest of men, pardon me. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, Belteshazzar, that's Daniel, what they call him, declare the interpretation thereof. So Daniel begins to tell him what he dreamed. And basically what he dreamed is, one of the first things he said is, you about to lose your kingdom. Now understand, he's letting us know that nobody up there, wherever you are in your seat of authority, nobody is out from under the jurisdiction of El Elyon, the Most High God. Nobody, I don't care who it is, what nation it is, what country it is, what political position it is, what it doesn't make any difference, nobody. So what did he do? He began to tell him what he dreamed. He said that the Most High God, I put some notes down here to myself, he arranges kingdom affairs and however he wishes, and he makes leaders out of losers. The High God has sentenced my master the king, you will graze on grass like an ox. This will go on for seven seasons, and you will learn that the Most High rules over human kingdoms, and that he arranges all kingdom affairs. The tree stump and the roots being left means that your kingdom will still be there for you after you learn a lesson that his heaven rules everything. Heaven is a court system and pronounces a verdict on King Nebuchadnezzar. Your kingdom is taken from you, said Daniel. This sentence is for seven seasons or 7 years, enough time for you to learn who God really is. So no one can interrupt his work, and no one can call his rule to question. He knows how to turn a proud person into a humble man or woman. Now, let me just say something to you. You represent the Most High God. Amen. There is no kingdom, Lord Jesus. There is no person who God cannot take out and put up another one in there. I want to say that to somebody. I don't know who needs to hear that, but I'm going to say it to somebody. See, we got to, listen, folks, we've got something to say about what's going on in this earth at this time. Say amen to that. And I'm telling you, we can pray to God and God will do some things. He will move some people out. He will move some other people back in. I'm here to tell you right now that this kingdom is not under Satan's control anymore, that you and I have something to say about it, and we can stand up boldly and declare some things. Now, Daniel had to say that, and let me tell you, any person that says something like that to the king could naturally, normally get their head cut off, but Daniel wasn't fearful because he knew the protection of Almighty God. They tried to throw him in a lion's den, and the lion wouldn't eat him. He saw them throw the Hebrews in the fire, and the fire wouldn't burn them. Why? Because God rules over everything. He rules over every circumstance in your life. I'm telling you right now, God will cut off accidents in your life. He'll cut off every kind of disease in your life. The Bible says in Isaiah 61, he's going to comfort all that's mourned. That means to me, God is about to heal everybody of everything they got in the body of Christ, because he promised it. And in the last days, it says that the scriptures shall be manifested. I believe that God is about to move in such a way that nobody on this earth will be able to deny he is the one true Almighty God. There is nobody like him. He has been in question in politics. They've been running it like they wanna. In sports, they've been running it. But God is about to raise up a people that are about to show people who God really is. This is the finest hour. I'm telling you right now, all you and I got to do is stand and see the salvation of the Lord. He said he's going to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You will be called trees of righteousness. I'm telling you, everybody that looks at you will see a glow on your face. They'll see the prosperity that you're walking in. I'm saying that you're going to be full of love and full of kindness, full of integrity, full of holiness, and God's going to be glorified in your life in Jesus' name. Now, one more place. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 20, please. Genesis chapter 20. The devil is a liar. See, somebody's got to preach this because you need faith for it. Now we're talking about, not only will he avenge people, he avenge you, but he's going to also have recompense. Recompense means somebody going to have to pay damages. So what has happened? Heaven has monitored the abuses on your life. Heaven has monitored the places where you've even been embarrassed. Heaven has monitored everything that's been done to you. Every time you've been stolen from, every time you've been embezzled, every time they've scammed you, even through the government. Heaven has monitored, but he's about to get recompense in your life, because recompense shall be in this earth. Say amen to that. But we're getting to a point now that we're going to be able to command recompense. You see, that donkey stayed tied up until Jesus called for it. Jesus said this to his disciples, go in town there and you'll see a donkey tied up, one that's never been rode. I'm talking about a brand new automobile. You go in town, and once you see that donkey, start taking him loose and bring him to me. And if anybody say anything to you, tell him the Lord has need of it. I'm telling you, the Lord has need of the money in the earth, because we're about to preach the gospel on a level that mankind has never seen. We're about to build orphanages. We're about to build new schools. Sit down a minute, let me just finish this. Folks, Pharaoh couldn't touch Moses. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't touch Daniel. And the devil can't touch you. You got to believe that, because this is your time. The Holy Ghost's number one job is to protect you, and he doesn't miss anything. When the death angel came down through Egypt, how many houses of the heathen were affected? Every one of them. He doesn't miss any. When Pharaoh kept chasing Moses and that Red Sea came up and Moses and them passed over and then it came back and swallowed up all the Egyptians, how many of them got drowned? He doesn't miss a one. Everybody that's got anything to do with antagonizing your life is about to be dealt with. Everybody's got anything to do with it. I'm telling you, we never should have given up them public schools, but we're going back and we're going to recover everything that's lost. I said, dude, never should have let them Bibles come out of them schools, but we're going back and we're going to recover everything that's lost. Come on, say amen to this. Now, Genesis 20, I'll finish up here. This is when Abraham and Sarah went down to Gerar, and Abraham said to Sarah, verse 2, he said, now say you're my sister. And that's what she did. Verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream, because Abimelech took her in his palace. And he came to him in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you're but a dead man. For the woman that you have taken, she belongs to another man. She belongs to my man. The man that I'm sending. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying that, hey, we've got to finish your work here. And wait a minute. I'm saying that we're going to have to pick up the speed. And anything blocking you, he said, well, I'll deal with it. Let me just take care of it. Because we got to finish the work. Abraham and them had a destiny. That enemy was trying to use his king to ruin their destiny. I'm saying the enemy has been using spirits and demons and so forth and so on to try to stop you from reaching your destiny. He's not going to stop you from reaching your destiny. You will get to your promised land. You will get to what God has called you to do. Look at what it says here. Verse 4. And Abimelech had not come nigh her. And he said, Lord, will thou slay the righteous nation? Now that's a revelation right there. He had him prophesy. And said he, not unto me, she is my sister. And she even said herself, he's my brother. And in the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hand have I done this. And the Lord God said to him in a dream, yea, I know that you did this in integrity of your heart, for I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for you, and you shall live. And if you restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely what? Die. You and all that are thine. Come all the way down to verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants and they that bear children. Now this is folks that didn't even do anything to Sarah. But they were in the house. Verse 18. For the Lord has closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So everybody in the house got affected. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying don't mess with God's people. Y'all ever heard that song? Don't mess with Bill. Have you ever heard that? No, 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 no. Okay. Leave my Billy alone. Look at verse 16. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes and to all that are with thee. And with all other, thus she was reproved. Now, you tell me What did that say? Now I'm about to say something here. Some of this stuff was written to please King James. This verse, I read it. I said, Lord, what does that mean? He said, look it up in the Living Bible. I said, all right. I went to the Living Bible and looked it up, and it says, then he turned to Sarah. Look, he said, I'm giving your brother 1,000 pieces of silver as damages for what I did to compensate for any embarrassment and to settle any claim against me regarding this matter. Now justice has been done. I said, okay. So what we got is some recompense going on here. I said, all right, now why didn't this thing just say recompense? Why did it try to throw me off like that? And I'm telling you folks, I believe that we're supposed to be much further along than we are. I believe there's stuff hidden in here that wasn't quite interpreted like. And I'm here to tell you right now that I'm about to dig in here and I'm gonna get me a key. We're gonna get some keys that are gonna open some doors because the hand of the Lord is about to move on our behalf. Come on over here to Genesis chapter 31, please. Just come on over there with me. You about to get paid. Come on over here to Genesis chapter 31. I'm here to tell you, see, I had to watch it because I almost didn't start the Joseph School, see, because I'm trying to stay behind folks who don't know nothing about the Joseph School. I almost didn't start the bank because I'm trying to stay behind folk that didn't know much about the bank. I almost didn't preach vengeance and recompense because I'm trying to stay out there with the, you know, walk by faith and not by sight. Well, this is justice. And in these last days, justice gonna have to be done. And I said, God, why did I get it? He said, because I'm pouring water on ground that's thirsty. He said, son, you've been mistreated. You come on now. They mistreated me. They talked about me. They took some stuff from me. I had to pay the lawyers some few hundred thousand dollars to try to rescue me. But I said, Lord, I started crying out to him. And all of a sudden, here comes vengeance and recompense. I said, okay, everything that devil has used people to steal from Bill Winston, it's going to have to be repaid. Payday is coming to me. And I'm going to multiply it times 7 because if the thief be found, he's going to have to pay me back 7 times. And I don't believe I'm going to have to be, I believe I receive. I believe I'm going to stand up and say, restore, praise God. I believe that I can command some things and money will come to me. Folks, it is in here. We got to dig it out. We got to find it. Just like that scripture, the more I give you on recompense, the higher your faith gets on it, the more your eyes can see scriptures that you never seen before. And pretty soon, you're going to have enough faith to step back and decree some things in the name of Jesus. In Isaiah 45, he said, command ye me, and I will do some things for you. So we got to do some some things that God is going to have us do. I'm just telling you, it's some stuff owed you. It's going to come into the kingdom for such a time as this. We're going to build like never before. There are people waiting to be rescued. We're going to use the money, saturate the media. We're going to do some things. We're going to pull some people out of the fire. We're going to get some drug addicts set free. We're going to take some orphanage kids and bring them up to go to Harvard. I'm telling you, God will use you to do some great things. Give him a praise, because that's what we're going to do. No, we are not satisfied with just being saved. We're not satisfied with just getting a little bit. We're going to get it all. Satan has bullied us long enough. He's bullied us up in White House. He's bullied us up in the Congress. He's bullied us over in the Supreme Court. He's not going to bully us no more, because God says, I am the king. He said, I am the judge and I am the lawgiver. I'm here to tell you, we're going to a higher court. We're going to command the devil to loose his hold on this nation. Loose his hold. I'm telling you, I believe the people of God going to pay off the national debt. I'm not talking about a few $1,000s. I'm not talking about a few million or a few billion. I'm talking about multiplied trillions. We're going to pay it off and then own everything that's in this nation. I'm saying this is our time. No more importing our manufacturing jobs overseas. We're going to bring them back here and run these companies according to the kingdom of Almighty God. Our boardrooms going to turn into prayer rooms. I'm telling you right now, God is going to do something, because Jesus, it will be glorified. In Genesis chapter 31, he said this. He said, Jacob, I've seen everything Laban has done to you. Remember what I said. Now, the dark side is going to get darker. They're going to have the worst times. But the bright side is going to get brighter. We're going to have the best times. He's seen every time you've been hurt. Seen every time you've been humiliated. He's seen every time that you've been defrauded, embezzled, every time you've been stolen from. He's seen every time you've been hurt, you've been sick and put in the hospital, missed days of work, hospital bills. He's seen every time all your school tuition monies, all everything, every back payment, everything, all is paying it. We paying everything off. You say, Pastor, how is this going to happen? I don't know. But I do know this, that vengeance and recompense is for today. That God is going to use the wealth of the wicked to finance everything and to pay off every believer that has ever suffered anything at the hands of the devil. Give the Lord a hand clap, and that's all we have for today. What you're hearing is a prophetic voice. The Spirit of Christ is a spirit of prophecy. God is speaking through me to everybody in the sound of my voice. You're about to get paid. You're about to get paid. Now we're going to dig in here long enough. We're going to find out how to execute that. And you're going to be too expensive to deal with. I told you, these things you got to pull out. You got to pull them out of me because they're in there. I just need some help. I know it's in me. I can feel it just sure as I'm standing here. I can feel the whole answer is in there. And what he's going to do, he's going to do speedily. Hear me. He said to me, he said, I want you to tell my people, treat delays like you treat anything else from the devil. Treat delays with contempt and disdain. Do not tolerate delays from this point forward for one moment. One of Satan's strategies is to delay things for you and have you to pretty soon feel defeated, discouraged enough so that you will quit. But I got good news for you. You're about to get paid. You're about to get paid. Y'all help me today pull something out there. Yes. There's something else in there. We got to pull this out. You're going to help me. We're going to birth this baby for the whole body of Christ. Sit down. Let me just... You're here right now, and you know that in your life, you've not been right with God. I got some good news for you. This is one of the reasons why we're here. Because God knew that you were coming. He knew that you were looking for a new life to start over again. And he built a place for you. He had a time that you could come. You said, well, I saw it on television. Well, God was behind that. Well, my friend told me God was behind that. Well, I just heard about it. God was behind that. Because he chose you before the foundation of the world. See, he knows the end from the beginning. Now, this is your day. Now, what he's left you with is something called a free will. And he won't make you get saved.